In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the gospel passage that we've just heard, that's assigned for this, our patronal feast day, where we commemorate not just our patron and protector that we ask for his intercessions every day, but also Saint Cyril, those two great patriarchs of Alexandria. And the reading that's assigned for the day begins right after the Beatitudes. So just before this, Christ finishes giving all of the Beatitudes, and then he says two things. One, we didn't hear in the reading because we skip over this verse. And then we follow with, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth follows right after the Beatitudes. And then Christ says, you are the light of the world. It's these two symbols that Christ points to that I want to focus on today, because Saint Athanasius, our patron and protector, and his brother Hierarch of Alexandria, Cyril, exemplify being salt and light. St. John Chrysostom even goes further and says that we need to first become salt in order to be light. When he looks at what immediately follows the Beatitudes, he says that very curious thing. We as Christians need to first learn how to be salt before we can become light. Not like salty sailors or soldiers, like most people think of as salty people, but ones whose very presence changes the whole that it is within. That is what is unique about salt and unique about light. Both of these transform what they are within. They offer their properties to what they are within and change the whole. Salt has certain properties. In the ancient world, it was used to purify. It was used to preserve, still is used to preserve today. And, of course, we use it to add flavor to our foods. There'll probably be quite a bit of salt in the chili cook-off today. Salt, then, our Lord uses as a symbol, a material substance presenting a spiritual reality. Salt is the mind that apprehends what it means to live in the gospel. And for one who is guided in mind and in action by the commands of Christ, one who has that kind of salt in their life leads a life that is partaking of heavenly wisdom. Salt then stands for the unique way of life of a Christian that occurs when we follow the commands that Christ has given us, and therefore we live in the world changing it. St. Nikolai of Ohrid has this wonderful little book called The Universe as Symbols and Signs. And in it, he points at salt as one of these symbols. And he says this, the soul that is well salted by Christ's teaching is safe from corruption. It's part of that purification, part of that preservation. But salt also signifies grace. For St. Paul says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. This is what he says in Colossians. Thus, salt, St. Nikolai continues, is a symbol of a Christian among the unchristian, and also of grace within the Christian. So, my brothers and sisters, we must first live as Christians, as people seasoned with salt, to hold strongly to the grace that was within us, so that we are changed and the world begins to become changed. By it, we cleanse and purify our lives. And we begin to flavor the world with the wisdom of God by our very presence. When we become salt, not flavorless and weak grains, but ones who are full of flavor, ones who are strong by following the ways of God in his commandments and in the many commandments that our God gives us in the Gospels that we can sum up as love one another as I have loved you. This is what Christ exhorts all of his disciples to do. When we do that and we live in that way and season our life with the salt of that, then we can become light. But light is unique. It is the ability to banish darkness wherever it is, no matter how small that source of light is. Light changes the whole experience of a space for us. We may know it by feel, or by sound, or by smell, but when we see it, when we have light present in a space, we now know it exponentially better than we could have with any other sense. Without the presence of light, we wouldn't know it very well. So light for us stands as a symbol that presents to us what is the truth. And its unique characteristic is that it can be refracted. It can be multiplied. You can hold up a mirror, or you can spread the fire, and more light fills the space. Light, when it is present, doesn't just call attention to itself in some sort of obvious way. Yet, everyone notices it or misses it when it is not present. So our Lord exhorts us in what we heard today in the gospel to let your light shine. He is pointing at this as a natural result of becoming the light of God in the world, not forced attention grabbing. As Blessed Theophylact says and points out that Christ did not say you must display your virtue. For that, we all know, is not good. But rather he said, let your light shine. So that even your enemies will marvel and glorify not you, but your Father. If we practice virtue, then we must practice it for the glory of God, who is the source of that light, and not for our own glory. When we lift up a light source, we see it better. We see the surroundings. We get a better sense of the space. We get to know more. And so we lift up the saints. They are a light to us because they have become ones who can multiply and reflect the light of Christ to all of the world. We look to them and we see Christ. And we see him better. Because these ones are shining examples of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the life of Christ, taught to us in Christ's own teaching of the Beatitudes, we see reflected in the lives of the saints that we glorify. When Jesus concludes the Beatitudes and offers us these symbols of salt and light, we begin to know what we are called to become. We don't force it. We simply start by trying to season our life with salt. We follow Christ and his church in humility. And we notice maybe how our world begins to be changed. So often we don't choose that way, though. We don't choose the humble way of salting our life just a little bit. We choose not the Beatitudes as our guide, but we despondently grasp for more, for power, for control, for things, for vainglory. But when we do that, that saltiness that Christ calls us to in Christian life begins to lose its flavor, begins to lose its strength. And we begin to cut off from the way that our Father among the saints, John Chrysostom, is saying we can become the light of God that is shining in and through us into the world. St. Athanasius, when we know his life, we begin to see how his life was seasoned with the salt of Christ's gospel and how he became that great light. He gave himself wholly over to Christ, even from his youth. He chose a life of humble service to the church. He chose a life flavored and purified and preserved by God. As a child, he led pagans to Christ, baptizing them and forming them in Christ so well that even as a child, the bishop approved of his actions. Not yet an ordained person. And the bishop said, he has done well. He attended and participated and wrote and approved of the definition formulated in Nicaea in 325 that declared that the Son of God is consubstantial with the Father when only a deacon. And then 10 years later, he wrote the wonderful work that many of us probably first came to know St. Athanasius by, that wonderful book called On the Incarnation. And there he laid out the meaning of what is accomplished by the Son of God, who is consubstantial with the Father and has joined himself to humanity. He saw how Christ, in that one great event, changed the entire world. It is only that one that could lead us back into communion with the Holy Trinity, from which we all, fallen human beings, had gone away. And he strove to defend those other lights of Christ, the ascetics, the monastics, the martyrs. When he wrote on the Incarnation, one of his main points and one of his main goals was to show how the martyrs, the consecrated virgins, are proof of our Lord's victory over death. He wrote the life of St. Anthony, who we commemorated just yesterday, raising up that great lamp of Christ so the spiritual benefit may be spread to others. And he was a living proof in his own life of the salt of grace and the struggle to know Christ in the depths of his own soul. Because he himself suffered as a proof of God's illumining work in the world. He held up that light no matter what was going on around him. He was a man that defended the dogmas of the church for our salvation in Christ. He defended the unity of the God-man from birth through the cross to the resurrection to the ascension into heaven. And he was steadfast through all the adversity. Yet he desired to find throughout his life the lights of God and chose to raise them up for us all, the living saints scattered throughout the world. Athanasius suffered with the Lord and bearing his cross. He was exiled some 5 times from his holy see and spent an accumulation of 45 years away from his flock and his beloved home. Yet he embraced that way of life that Christ paved. He first salted his life with Christ's life and the commands that he gave and let God transform his life into light. Great Athanasius is one who knew in his very marrow, in who he was, and lived the words that we would have heard in the Vespers service from the wisdom of Solomon. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, and their departure is taken for misery, and their going from us is utter destruction, but they are in peace. For though they be punished in the sight of men, yet is their hope full of immortality. And in the time of their visitation, they shall shine, those saints that the wisdom of Solomon is speaking of. Those in their time of visitation, they shall shine and run to and fro like sparks among the stubble. St. Athanasius embraced the salt of purification, the preservation of the faith, and the flavor of Christian life, so that he himself became a spark among the stubble, lighting other beacons and raising them up high. His life is an imitation of Christ down to his core. He was a true shepherd and a defender of the faithful, so that we could know how radically we can be changed by just a little bit of salt added to our life. By the saving work of the Son of Man, the Son of God, consubstantial, equal with the Father, he St. Athanasius, through his stubborn adherence to this fact of Jesus Christ as the God-man, in his deeds, in his words, and in his thought, defending this basic salvific teaching with his whole soul, with all of his power, with his whole body, became a light to us and to even down through these years to our community. For this, he was co-crucified with Christ by exile, by slander, while extending love and light to all of his fellows. And so now some 1,700 years or more later, we look to him as our light, that we may see and know Christ. What a mighty reminder that we have before us, our patron and our protector. May we be ones who also salt our life with Christ and his commands, and partake of the salt of grace, that we may purify ourselves to Christ, preserve the world by our faith, and flavor it with the Savior's love. We can do this by humbly clinging to the church's teaching and to the life it calls us to. When we do this, Christ transfigures us into light, perhaps even a spark who in some small way can be like St. Athanasius, running to and fro, lighting sparks of faith in others. So may we know this great one and have his intercessions and receive the Savior, the Son of God, equal in nature with the Father, our holy protector, Athanasius, and seek to give and foster within us the Christ who he teaches and who he gives and offers to us. Holy Athanasius, intercede with Christ God for us, that we may be granted his abundant mercy. Amen.